The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny, with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Ferryboat Serenade. That was Ferryboat Serenade, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you a man who returned to the air last Sunday, happy as a June bride and just as nervous, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I appreciate the fact that you tried to start the program with a laugh and almost succeeded, but I wasn't the least bit nervous last Sunday, not the slightest.
Well, Jack, what are you talking about? You were shaking like a leaf.
Now, listen, Don, you should be the last one in the world to talk about me being shaky. Why, all during the program, your chins were doing the latanga. And the one in the middle was out of step. So there.
Well, just the same, I wasn't as jittery as you were.
Don, let me explain the difference between being jittery and high-strung. For instance, you take a good bird dog when he's all keyed up and ready to go. He's not nervous, but he stands there, his whole body quivering, ready to spring into action. And that's the way I was, Don. Just like a bird dog.
I see.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Rover. Take that quail out of your mouth.
Mary, I was only making a comparison, that's all. I was explaining to Don that I wasn't nervous last week. I was just high-strung, like anybody who wants to give a good performance.
He's right, Don. Did you ever see a football player before a big game? Or a fighter before he goes into the ring?
Why, of course.
Did you ever see Helen Hayes before she stepped out on the stage?
Certainly.
Did you ever see Jack in a bathing suit?
What's that got? We were talking about nervousness. You ring in my bathing suit. Where's the connection?
It needs a new belt.
All right, so it needs a new belt. Now, Mary, if you can quit punching them out for a minute. Let's be thankful that the first show went over so well. You know, Don, I read some swell reviews on the fantasy I wrote. You know, where the blue fairy woke us all up. Ed Sullivan raved about it.
He did?
Yes, and that's a critic's opinion. He said that, well, I got the review right here with me. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, stop drooling.
Nothing to be ashamed of. Listen to this. The Jell-O program opened its, Wilson. Harris. Livingston. While Jack Benny. While Jack Benny.
The Waukegan Weasel.
The Waukegan Weasel. Married. While Jack Benny not only appeared in the show, but wrote and produced the fantasy of the Blue Fairy, which, in the opinion of this reviewer, was unquestionably puerile and banal.
It was what?
Puerile and banal. I'm not making it up, Don. It's right here in black and white.
But, Jack, puerile means childish, infantile.
Well, of course. I wrote it for the kiddies.
And banal means what's happened to the kitty shouldn't happen to a dog.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Yes, Jack, banal means hackneyed or trite. You know, old-fashioned stuff.
Oh. Gee, I can't understand it. Those words look so good. Oh, well, our listeners liked it. That's all I care about.
They certainly did, Jack. In fact, I brought a clipping along I thought you might not have seen, and it's very complimentary.
It is?
I'll read it to you later.
Read it now when I need it. Go ahead.
Okay, here it is. Our Sunday evenings at home will be much more pleasant now that Jack Benny is back on the air.
Well, what paper is that in, Don?
The Alcatraz Herald.
Well, Don, that seems to be the consensus of opinion. Mary, did you see any reviews on our first broadcast?
No, but I went to Fifi's Beauty Parlor yesterday, and the girls there just raved about it.
At Fifi's, huh?
They thought everything I said was so cute.
Well, sure, you're a good customer at that beauty parlor. They talk about anyone else on the program?
Just Phil. He goes there, too.
I know. And what burns me up, he goes around telling everybody that his hair is naturally curly. really as straight as a string. I've seen him in the morning. Oh, here he is now. Hello, handsome.
Well, here I am, folks. Lay down them cards and turn up the dials.
Boy, what a Smithfield. Phil, what makes you think that this program never gets started until you come on? We've been doing all right.
Yeah, but you guys don't get them belly laughs, them socceroos, them bipolars.
Oh, you and your bipolars. By the way, Phil, did you hear anything about our first broadcast?
Well, it's Beefy's. They said that
we heard about that. Did you see any reviews in the paper?
Yeah, I saw one write up in the Butcher's Gazette.
The Butcher's Gazette, eh? Did they like the show?
Yeah, they said it was very cleaver. How's that, folks? Pairs six again. I'm wrong now.
Phil, what was that supposed to be, a bopola or a socceroo?
Well, when they stop laughing, I can't tell yet.
Oh, that's right. Now, Phil, you might have a few more Butcher Gazette gags up your sleeve, but I think it's about time for a number. How about playing something?
Okay, Jackson. Say, Jack, what about that idea of yours?
What idea? Oh, yes. Phil, I've got a great suggestion for something new this season.
What is it?
Well, inasmuch as we try to inject something different into our show, I thought it would be a novelty if I played violin with your band once in a while. What do you say?
Over my beautiful dead body.
Now, wait a minute. This program needs new talent, and I can take the place of one of your violinists. That little guy there on the end.
Mr. Jackson, I got a perfect arrangement of this next number, and one bad note is liable to spoil the whole thing.
Phil, a bad note in one of your arrangements is like throwing a rose into a barrel of Roquefort. So make way in that fiddle section. I'm going to town.
Oh, Jack, why don't you let well enough alone?
I know what I'm doing, Mary. Come on, Shorty, let me have your violin. Yes, sir. Thanks.
Goes under your chin.
I know where it goes. Wait till I tune up, Phil.
That cat ain't dead yet.
Phil, stop with that stuff, will you? No kidding. I wish you wouldn't be so puerile and banal.
Puerile and banal? What's that?
A dance team. Puerile and banal, the aristocrats of rhythm. They're a sensation.
Well, send them out the ball. I'll give them a job.
Oh, fine. What a mentality. Because, you know, you ought to take up pressing flowers so you'd buy a dictionary.
Look who's talking. You didn't know what puerile and banal meant yourself.
I knew they were words. I didn't think they were people. All right, Phil, I'm ready. Let's go.
Well, I guess we got to do it, boys. You know how scarce jobs are. All right, so we'll wait.
Who needs us? Let's go! Can't you hear me calling when the rain and the pouring? By Phil Harris and his orchestra, with violin hot licked by Sizzle Strings Benny. I guess that was bad, eh?
I'd like to be able to guess like that at Santa Anita.
Mary, you take my word for it. It was very good. Say, Phil, I think I'll come out the Wilshire Bowl and play with your orchestra tonight.
You do, and I'll slap that cover charge on you.
I'll pick up more than that in quarters.
Hey, speaking of dough, Jackson, that reminds me. What about the $10 you owe me on the World Series?
Oh, that's right. I had Detroit. Yes, sir, I forgot all about it. Well, Benny's a good loser. $10, eh, Phil?
Yep, $10.
Okay, I'll go out in the hall and get it for you.
Nobody'll look. You can roll your sock down right here.
Now, don't get smart. I don't carry money in my sock anymore.
Oh, that's right. Not since that day at the circus.
You're darn right.
What happened, Mary?
A midget kicked his ankle.
Yes, and if I ever catch that little runt, I'll beat the daylights out of him. Why didn't you, Butch? I chased him clear across the lot, but he ran down a gopher hole. The shrimp.
Boy, that's rich. Imagine grabbing dough out of a guy's sock.
How much did he get, Jack?
About $80,000.
It was not. Nowhere near that. Anyway, Phil, I'll go out in the hall and get you. Hey, wait a minute. I got the $10 right here.
Well, hand it over.
I'll hand it over. Don't grudge me.
Okay.
You want it fair and square, and I'm going to give it to you. Yes, sir.
What are you waiting for, television?
Now, here you are, Phil.
Thanks.
Now, don't squander it.
Oh, while we're on the subject, Jack, you and I might as well settle up, too. Here's the $5 I lost to you.
Now, later, Don.
What $5?
Never mind.
Hey, what's going on here, Jackson? Did you bet on Detroit and Cincinnati both?
Well, a guy can get mixed up, can't he?
Well, that beats everything.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. I bet $10 on Detroit, and I lost to Phil. And then I accidentally bet $5 on Cincinnati, and I won from Don. So I'm still out $5. But what do I care?
Ladies and gentlemen, you may not care whether Jack is out $5 or not, but you will care about those six delicious flavors of America's favorite gelatin dessert.
Oh, fine.
And whether you bet on Cincinnati or Detroit, you will find that you cannot go wrong when betting on gelatin. That's Detroit, the whole Detroit, and nothing but Detroit.
Isn't that awful? Don, I smell a rat. Did Phil Harris give you that idea?
Oh, so you recognize the stuff now, eh?
Recognize it? I'll say I did.
I didn't. The wind was blowing the other way.
Well, you were very lucky, Mary. You know, there are days, Phil, and... Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Am I in time for my song?
Yes, but it wouldn't hurt to get here earlier.
What for? I just stand around like a totem pole.
What are you complaining about? You sing a song every week, don't you?
Kenny Baker gets dialogue.
Never mind about Kenny Baker. How'd you like to be in his shoes and work for a guy like Fred Allen?
I think Fred Allen is wonderful.
Why, you little fifth columnist. Wait till I get you outside.
Run down a gopher hole, Dennis.
Oh, that midget again.
Hey, kid, did you hear about Jackson losing his dough at the circus?
No, what happened?
He got rolled by a Lillian Fuchsian.
Lillian Fuchsian?
Phil, that Lillipuchsian. Look, Phil, whenever there are two words meaning the same thing, please use the short one. Anyway, it was my money, so forget about it.
Oh, say, Mr. Benny, that reminds me. Here's the $2.50 I owe you on the World Series.
Later, Don.
Oh. So you bet the same amount on both teams, $8.40?
What do you mean the same amount? Look, Mary, I lost $10 to Phil. I got five back from Don and 250 from Dennis, so I'm still out 250. Now, Dennis, let's have your song so that everybody can stop worrying about my financial affairs.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Come in.
Special delivery for Mary Livingston.
Here she is. A letter for you, Mary.
Thanks.
Hey, you're a little old for a messenger boy, aren't you?
Well, you twitch on him any days yourself, Bob.
I'd like to push him down a gopher hole, too. Who's the letter from, Mary?
It's a note from Mama.
Oh, your mother, eh? What's the Oscar Levant of New Jersey got to say?
Nothing. She just sent a clipping from the Plainfield paper about our first broadcast.
Oh.
Here's the headline. Livingston program returns to the air.
That's from Plainfield, all right.
And Miss Mary Livingston, daughter of that prominent society leader, Mrs. Scarlett Livingston.
Scarlett?
Yeah, she changes her name with every picture.
She ought to change it to Grapes of Wrath. That really fits.
Oh, Jack, just because Mama hates you, you don't have to be mean about it.
Okay, get back to the review of our show. What does it say?
Mary Livingston was her usual self, charming, witty, and fascinating.
Well.
But the Blue Fairy Fantasy, written by Jack Benny, was nothing short of puerile and banal.
Let me see that. Well, I'll be darned. There it is. Go ahead.
Miss Livingston's father, Mr. Rhett Livingston.
Holy smoke.
Mr. Livingston had an unfortunate accident while listening to the broadcast. He was sitting in the car with the radio tuned on when the owner came along and punched him in the nose.
Serves him right.
When interviewed, Mr. Livingston said, hit.
Oh, drunk. Is that all?
Yes, I'm going to paste it in my scrapbook.
Well, paste it face down so nobody will read it. Are you ready for your song now, Dennis?
Yes, sir.
Well, open your mouth and let it go. Say, Mary, when you answer Scarlett, tell her General Sherman sends love. That was The Nearness of You, sung by Dennis Day. That was very good, Dennis. I really think you've improved a lot this year.
Thank you. And say, Mr. Benny, before I forget it, can I mow your lawn Thursday instead of Wednesday this week?
Why, what's the matter with Wednesday? That's your regular day.
Well, Wednesday I have to go down and register for the draft. You know, it's conscription day.
Oh, that's right. I'll tell you what, Dennis. I'll pick you up at 3:00, and we'll go down there together.
Why, you don't have to go, Jack. Only men up to the age of 36 have to register.
Oh, 36, huh? I guess that lets me out. Yep.
You barely made the last war.
Yes, and the civil and the revolutionary. Are you happy?
Hey, Jackson, do I have to get in
registration? Why, certainly, Phil. Every young American has to register.
What's it for?
Oh, my God! Phil, everybody who registers gets a number and they send them all to Washington, put them in a big drum, and the lucky winners get a free vacation for 1 year at the expense of the government.
Hey, that ain't bad, huh?
And you can take off those patent leather shoes. They're no good for marching. Anyway, Phil, you just be there Wednesday.
What about Rochester? He'll have to sign up too, won't he?
Yeah, I suppose I'll have to cook dinner myself Wednesday night. And incidentally, fellas, I've been having a little trouble with Rochester lately.
What's wrong?
Well, they gave him a big celebration the other night and elected him mayor of Central Avenue. When I got home yesterday, I found a sign on my house that said City Hall. I took that down in a hurry. Mary, get Rochester on the phone. I want him to pick me up at the El Capitan Theater tonight.
Okay.
Hope it's not too much trouble for him.
Hey, Jackson, what are you doing over at the El Capitan Theater?
Well, Mary and I have been playing there in a show all week. It's a benefit for the British Red Cross.
Well, I didn't know anything about it.
Well, that's my fault, Phil. I should have taken out an ad in the racing form. You haven't read a paper.
Your number's ringing, Jack.
Thanks. Give me the phone. Hello? Hello?
Mr. Benny's business. This is Howard the Mayor speaking.
Rochester.
Oh, is that you, Mr. Benny?
Yes, it's me. Now, listen, Your Honor. I wonder if I could trouble you to bring the car down to the El Capitan Theater and pick me up about 11:30 tonight.
Okay, can I put the top up?
Rochester, in this nice autumn weather, it's much better riding with the top down.
Yeah, but my silk hat keeps blowing off.
You don't have to wear a silk topper. Your chauffeur's cap looks very good on you.
With a cutaway coat? Oh, whoa!
Now, Rochester, stop being so fancy. Anyhow, what's the good of being mayor of Central Avenue?
I get a discount on real.
All right. Now, Rochester, the purpose of this call was to have you pick me up in the Maxwell. Now, you'll be down there by 11:30.
Okay. So long.
So long.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, are you aware of the fact the automobile show is in town?
Yes, I'm aware. What about it?
Well, I was thinking you might want to trade the Maxwell for something less puerile than venal.
Nothing wrong with the Maxwell. It's in perfect mechanical condition.
Boss, have you ever lifted up that hood when the motor's running?
No.
Well, don't do it. The fan belt will slap you right in the face.
That fan belt can be fixed.
You gotta catch it first.
Now, that's just silly.
And the oil flies out like boom down.
Now, Rochester, I don't want to hear any more about the car. You just be at the El Capitan Theater at 11:30.
It's up here. I better leave now.
Leave when you want to. Goodbye.
So long. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
About that little bet we made. Did I have Detroit or Cincinnati?
You had Detroit and you owe me $2.
I thought so.
Never mind.
I'll pay you tonight, boss.
Okay, goodbye. Always wants to trade in the car.
Why, Jack, you mean to say that you even won $2 from Rochester?
Listen, Mary, I'm still loser. I paid $10 for Phil. I got $5 from Don, $2.50 from Dennis, and $2 from Rochester. That's $9.50. I'm still out $0.50. Now, come on, we got to get over to the theater and do that benefit.
Okay.
So long, fellas. Hey, you can wind up the show yourselves. See, Mary, when we do the benefit tonight, I want you to give a good show because it's our last performance.
I will. Don't worry.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's the check room. I want to get my hat. Hello, Tommy.
Hello, Mr. Benny. How'd the program go tonight?
Oh, pretty good. Can I have my hat?
Oh, yes, sir. There you are.
Thanks.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, here's that 50 cents I owe you.
Oh, that's right. You did bet on Detroit. Thanks, kid.
Hey, Jack.
What?
Close the books now.
Yeah, come on, let's go.
Back in grandmother's day, when Jess wanted to praise one of her cakes desserts, they often used to say it's as smooth as peaches and cream. But today, folks can get the idea even quicker if you say it's just as smooth as peaches and jelly. Now, there's a combination, ladies and gentlemen, that's really smooth, really easy to take. Yes, sir, and easy to make, too. And all you do is dissolve one package of orange jello in a pint of hot water and peach juice. Chill until slightly thickened, and then fold in one cup of sliced peaches drained. Then mold, and it's all over but the shouting, and that's sure to come when the family gets its first happy glimpse of this lovely golden dessert. Of course, the regular peach season is over, but you can still enjoy peaches that are actually orchard fresh by making this jello treat with Bird's Eye quick frozen sliced peaches. Or if Bird's Eye peaches are not readily available, use canned sliced peaches. Either way, I know you'll like this swell dessert a lot. Take it from me, there's nothing more delicious than juicy golden yellow peaches and rich, shimmering orange jello.
News for thrifty housewives. Love Cabin Syrup for less money. Popular table size, not more than 18 cents in most stores. Ask your grocer about his new low price. Remember, same matchless Love Cabin flavor. So delicious with piping hot pancakes or waffles. Only the price has changed. Tomorrow, buy Log Cabin Syrup at the new low price, the lowest ever. This is the National Broadcasting Company.